Everybody loves the idea of a dream home, but should you take on a fixer-upper project or pay more for move-in ready? On this week's episode, we're breaking down the pros, the cons, and which type of buyer best suits each of these options. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Closing the Deal. I am your host, Sam Enright, and sitting across from me is my co-host, Zach Dixon. Zach, how are you doing today?
Oh, cannot complain. A beautiful September morning here. Still feels like summer outside. Cannot complain at all. A little tired. Been a hot and heavy last few weeks, but we are here. We are here for sure.
Good to see you here. It's good.
That's all we can do, right? Just be present in our feet, in that spot, in that moment. That's all we can do, right?
I guess, yeah, sure. Depends on how you look at it, certainly. But
glass half full, you know. Half full.
Being present's better than not being present.
I do believe there's
a step above present as well.
Getting active.
Well, just being intentional. Being present and intentional in what it is that you're doing.
For sure. Definitely being intentional over the last 3 weeks. That is for sure.
Yeah. Well, love to hear it.
How about you? How's your last 3 weeks been? You've been busy as well?
Last 3 weeks has been a little interesting for me personally. So not in a, just out of routine a little bit, out of what I would normally be doing. So, but I mean, outside of that, I mean, we've been busy and business has been good and can't complain on that front. Just been kind of, hanging out, chilling,
chugging along.
100%. Well, as you guys heard kind of in the intro here, we are going to be talking about fixer-upper versus move-in ready properties, which is right for you, how to decide what is going to be your best path forward. So for anybody out there who has been interested in purchasing a home, I'm sure you guys have given this some thought. I think a lot of people do usually in the beginning part of their stages. Where do you want to go with things? Do you want to have something you got to put some sweat equity into, or are you looking for completely redone, completely renovated, move-in ready? I think everybody has a little bit of different definition of move-in ready, because you know, ultimately, for the most part, most houses that you finance are going to be move-in ready, but it depends on, you know, is it going to be up to the level of which you want it, or does it need some work to get it there? So.
Yeah, I mean, it's an age old debate, I think, between buyers, honestly. When you first get that home search started, you know, get on the MLS or get on Zillow, whatever it may be, and you start looking around, you can pretty quickly tell the difference between, you know, a fixer upper property that's listed on the market and, you know, one that is turnkey as well. You know, obviously those fixer-upper properties are going to come at a little bit of a discount. And so they'll stand out right away to you when you get that process started. You know, you see a property on the market for a certain number and you click on it and then you go look at those pictures and then you quickly realize why it's listed at that certain number, or vice versa on the other side. You know, when there's something that's listed very high, maybe comparative to what you've seen, and then you go click on the pictures and it is completely redone, refinished with all of the top finishes in the property, you know, had bones replaced, you know, plumbing, all of those things that you can't see. Those obviously cost a lot of money too. So I think that there is just a big shock factor, you know, sometimes at the very beginning when you get in there and you kind of see, you know, the difference between a fixer upper and a move-in ready home, you know, at the very top end, you know, price wise and then, you know, condition wise as well. I always tell clients, you know, pictures are very, very deceiving. So if you get on to one of your, you know, MLS or Zillow pictures and listings and see a property that looks beautiful, redone, completely refinished. You know, I'm always going to recommend going to check it out first before we make any assumptions, decisions, any of that. So to go obviously make sure that the rehab was done correct. But I'm sure that that's one aspect of the debate that we'll get into here is, you know, the quality of rehabs and quality of work done on the property. And that obviously means a whole lot when we're talking about resale value and potential market value as a whole. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that can kind of take us and go straight into here our first segment of just talking about, you know, the case for fixer uppers and, you know, what that looks like. Not only that, but what buyer profile ultimately meets the criteria of what a fixer upper is going to entail, right? Because this is not going to work for every single person out there to buy a home and, you know, have to put all of this work into it, because there's a lot of things that go into that. So, you know, Zach already kind of highlighted it when talking about fixer uppers, right? When you are out there, they do stick out like a sore thumb most usually, right? Because they are such a different price difference from the rest of the market. And this is usually where a lot of buyers kind of get excited, right? They see this thing and they see this house and you know, it's below the normal average asking price for most properties in the area. That should be key number one, that there's likely going to need to be some work put into the property, right? Because if the market average is hovering, let's just say, on hypothetically speaking, hovering around 250,000, right? And now you see a house that pops up on the market at 125, 150. Again, that's going to catch your eye, but, you know, there's going to be some questions that are going to need to be, you know, answered, right? Or be asked and then answered. And that's going to be, you know, well, what's going on with the property? You know, what level of work is it going to take in order to get it to where we need it / and or want it? So that's the first thing. Obviously, you do get in for a little bit of a lower price. That's one of the benefits of a fixer-upper versus a turnkey or, you know, completely rehabbed property. You're going to be able to get it for a lot cheaper in the forefront, I should add, because we'll get into the cost and it's probably not going to be cheaper in the long term. But, and then another positive would be building equity through your renovations, right? So as you can see, you can take a property that's a finished product and you can see what an updated kitchen will do, what updated bathrooms, what updated living space, whatever the case may be, these renovations that are done, right? Whether that's building additions on the homes, redoing things, updating things to be more modern, that's going to drive the price of your property up. And so you're basically able to build equity through the renovations on the property, depending on the type of work that you're going to do. And so that is another positive of a fixer upper is you will over time generate more value for your property based on the work that is done to it. So those are kind of two of the first things that jump out at me as a benefit or a case for a fixer upper would be lower price as well as building the equity through renovation. Zach, is there a couple of other things or anything else that you would, you know, say is a benefit or a case for what would make sense for a fixer upper?
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously the sweat equity is my biggest one as well, which you just touched on, you know, getting a little bit of sweat on doing some home improvement projects, you know, immediately reaping the benefits of that. Obviously on the forefront of seeing it, you know, having the project done and completed, that's a good feeling in itself. But on the other side, like you mentioned, obviously the equity that you're building via that sweat is second to none as well, I would agree. So next I would say, you know, personalization, you know, the control that you personally have over the aesthetics of your home that you're going to be living in. You're not putting that into the hands of another, you know, rehabber, another contractor, another seller, another investor, whatever it may be. You're not putting that in their hands. Because I think, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen a very cookie cutter type rehab property that you know, you have the same exact flooring, the same cabinets, the same paint colors, the same et cetera, that most investors use time over time when they're doing flips, when they're doing rehabs. And so there's I think when you leave it in the hands of other people, you have a lot less personalization in the matter. So obviously, you know, you're the one living in the property. So if you want the property to look how you want it, then obviously you doing the rehab is going to be, you know, the best way to get that finished. And so that's going to be another large proponent of the rehabbing. But then I would say, you know, having more access to more inventory, that is a big one for me as well. You know, generally speaking, the general public do not want to take on rehabs, do not want to take on fixer-uppers. And I think that that's something we'll talk about here as we get through the episode. But I think that there are just a lot more opportunities and a lot more inventory available for you if you do decide to go that fixer-upper route, because just generally speaking, people don't want to do that. So it's the road less traveled, all in all. So I would say that those two are ones that I would add as well. So
yeah, for sure. I think that last one is definitely really important because, like you said, I mean, it's not something that you would normally see. So it is going to give you access to things that, you know, most normal people are not looking at doing.
So kind of picking back off of that, of just it being kind of the road less traveled, I would say a negative that you kind of may get into when you are doing this yourself, you know, taking on the rehab yourself, is unfortunately retail pricing as a whole. If you're not necessarily a contractor or have contractor contacts, things like that, you're going to be paying a lot more than what a normal like investor rehabber would be paying with the contacts that they have. And so obviously depending on your purchase price and depending on the room that you have to work, it can still absolutely be done and you can still absolutely make money immediately through that sweat equity. But I just think as a normal, you know, retail buyer, more than likely you're going to be paying retail type pricing for the rehab, and that can definitely get pricey depending on some of the projects and some of the materials and some of the contractors. You know, again, some of these investors and rehabbers have, you know, very good contacts that they've worked for 10, 20, 30 years straight on. And so they're getting preferred pricing on some of those jobs that you as a, you know, retail buyer, one-off buyer are not necessarily going to be getting. So always something to think about as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, obviously, while we get into, you know, maybe some of the, I don't know if negatives are necessarily the right word, but maybe risks or hidden costs or just things that you may not normally think about, right? Because ultimately, the things that we highlighted sound like all positives, right? Oh my gosh, you're going to have access to a market where most people are not dabbling in. Oh, you're going to be able to get price, you know, homes for lower prices. Oh, you're going to be able to personalize the crap out of it. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. And while all of that is true, there's also other things to be taken into consideration there, right? So obviously, because it is legitimately called sweat equity, we all know that anytime you're sweating, usually that's hard work, right? And that takes time. So those are going to be two components, right? You're not just going to go buy a fixer upper and all of a sudden in 2 months have everything the way that you want it to. It's going to take likely a long process depending on what your funds look like, you know, depending on if you're doing the work yourself. You know, there's a lot of different components to it, right? I mean, obviously, could you bang out a house in 2 months if you're contracting all the work out and you're sitting on a surplus of money and you can just bang through it all? Absolutely. But, you know, we're also talking about, are you an investor or are you somebody who wants to purchase a fixer-upper as an actual home to live in and build that sweat equity over time? You know, those are things that are, you know, to be taken into consideration. Time is one of the biggest ones. The other thing would be stress. Obviously, if this is something you're going on about yourself, or even if you're not, I mean, how many of you know how to be a general contractor, like and hire people out to do these different jobs? You know what I mean? Like that's a level of stress. You may not be doing the work yourself, but you also have to make all the phone calls. You have to get everything set up. You got to make sure all the ducks are in a row, right? And make sure all the parts are moving as one congruently. And so that can be stressful for people who have never gone down that road before, who have no experience with that. And so that's another thing to take into consideration when doing it. And even if you are doing the work yourself, there's also stress to that as well. You know, maybe you're not, you know, being your own GC and hiring everything out, but, you know, there's the stress of, oh my gosh, I got to work on this project every single weekend for the next 8 weekends, you know what I'm saying? 8 hours a day, got to work my full-time job, got to do all these things just to get this where I want it to. Like, that's, you know, that is also stressful, you know? So those two things kind of go together as well as something to think about there, you know, because again, we did highlight a lot of positives that when looked at from the back, you know, can be like, oh my gosh, these are all amazing. But they're also, once you get into it, is, you know, it's going to be a big undertaking for whoever does it. And so just understanding those risks, understanding what's a part of that is a crucial point. You know, I would say, just to kind of segue into, you know, I know we've, I think I've told this story before, but I remember very clearly my aunt and uncle, when they were first buying a house, they bought a foreclosure, and I think the property was worth 30,000-40,000, something like that. It was livable when they first got into it. I mean, it wasn't great, but I think that's another thing, you know, because of the, I mean, we can get into all of that, but because of the market that we're currently in, right? And if you go and you rent apartments in nicer areas, if you're in the Columbus area, you know, a lot of us, we have a lot of friends. We ourselves have rented in that area. All of the properties are relatively new. They have new appliances. They got, you know, these granite countertops. They have these open floor plans, lighting, all of these things, right, that make it feel more modern, okay? And so when you go look at these houses that were built in the 1900s and they haven't been renovated, for most people, that would be a major step back in the other direction, right? But there is potential for opportunity. And so just like my aunt and them, you know, they bought a house. Was it the most physically appealing when they first got it? Not really. You know, it was old. It's creaky. It's got, you know, all these different things into it, but was it livable? Did they have a space where they could, you know, rest their head every night? Absolutely. And so they owned that property for about 5 years. And over time, they took on little projects to boost the outside, to boost the way that it looked, boost the inside, do different things that bring more value to the property. And when they walked away, they probably walked away up, you know, $70,000-$100,000 on this property. You know what I'm saying? And so there is potential out there, if that is a route that you would like to go, to potentially have big, big gains that you would not otherwise see on a property. And so it just, it ultimately boils down to what it is that you're looking to kind of take on, right?
Yeah, I mean, because ultimately a fixer-upper can look cheap on the surface, you know, but ultimately every dollar that you save on your purchase price, you're going to be spending that in time, you know, money, energy, renovations. So, you know, obviously the question that you have to ask yourself is, do you want a project or do you want a home? Ultimately, you are going to get a home out of a project, but it won't be a home to start. So you're going to have a project, you're going to have time, you're going to have, you know, sweat, you're going to have effort in there. But ultimately, at the end of the day, like you just mentioned with that example, it can reap a lot of benefits. So that's just a question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, yeah. It's ultimately like, can you deal with like the physical, like maybe even repulsion of the property? Like, it just doesn't even look appealing to you. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like I said, they had a place that they could lay their head. Again, for them, was it probably the most ideal thing they'd ever seen? Was it the house they had always envisioned themselves in? No, but you don't understand like what $100,000 when you've built that equity in a home can springboard you into a lot of different options when you go to purchase your next home. And so, you know, it's also about the end game. It's also about understanding, okay, is this our end game? Just because we buy one house, does this mean we're going to be here for the next 70 years of our life? Unlikely, right? You know, most people buy, sell, refinance a new home, you know, in the first 5 to 7 years of purchasing. So there's a very short cycle of time. You're not just going to, most people are not camped out in a property for that long. So, you know, you can use that 5 years wisely and build yourself a huge amount of equity. Not to say that if you buy turnkey that you're not going to build equity, but there's a lot more, opportunity, right, for bigger gains when you buy fixer upper. So that's kind of my case versus the risks versus everything that goes into a fixer upper. So, I mean, now that, you know, we've kind of got all of that, you know, let's talk about what a move-in ready property is and what the benefits of a move-in ready property are. I'm sure you guys probably know based on just the fixer upper, what are the benefits, or not even just benefits, or things to look out for. Obviously, we're going to start with a higher purchase price, right? So if there's an average purchase price in your area and the fixer upper is less than that, most normally these move-in ready properties are going to be in that average or above average, just depending on, you know, what the renovation cycle looks like, that sort of thing. If it's completely renovated, you're likely going to be paying higher prices than what the average out there is. So the good news is, though, with the higher price, obviously less work to be done, right? That's the goal. You're going to pay higher, but you're going to be able to move in. Ultimately, if you're buying something that's completely renovated, from what we normally see, most people are going to go visit several homes before they make a decision. And it's going to be something, at least a layout, at least a general ambiance of the house that fits kind of what they're looking for, right? Because obviously they know that, hey, the goal is to move in here. The goal is not to put a bunch of money into the property. Obviously, we may paint some walls, we may change some colors here, but the overall flow of the house, the overall look, that sort of thing is going to be something that already fits what exactly you're looking for, so that you can take the time, the money, the, you know, the sweat out of it to get it how you want it. And so those are going to be two things, you know, right there. Pay a higher premium for the property, and then also minimum renovations, minimum work that needs to be done. But that's also going to probably add time to finding the property that you're looking for, right? Because you are more concerned about what exactly the flow, the ambiance of the house is before purchasing. So those are two things that obviously are going to be in the forefront of your mind when looking at a move-in ready property.
And in addition to that, you know, it's going to be more competitive as well. You know, you're not just the only one that's going to be looking for these, you know, specific, you know, very ready to go rehab properties. There's going to be a lot of competition out there for between buyers that are going to be looking for the exact same thing. And they're going to be walking into the property, you know, 15, 20 minutes after you, after your showings. And so you have to be, you know, kind of be ready to go if you want to have one of these properties. If you see one, you got to be ready to act and move on it at that point. And if not, then may miss out on it, unfortunately, in specific markets. So I would say another big positive that you're going to get from the move-in ready home is generally speaking, predictable costs. Obviously, with the fixer-upper, you're going to have some variable costs in there. And you never really know what you're going to dig up until you dig it up, unfortunately, with some of these projects too. So, you know, you get halfway through a project and then you realize you have to spend 200% more than what you were budgeted on because of something that was unforeseen. And so that's just not something that's going to happen usually with move-in ready homes, unless obviously something always can have something go wrong in a property, always can have, you know, emergency problems and whatnot. But generally speaking, the costs are predictable when you have that move-in ready home, because again, you don't have to, you know, you're not budgeting for projects, you're not budgeting for those large items when you have that move-in ready home all in all. So, and again, like you mentioned, there's just a couple of risks that kind of inverse with the fixer-upper. Obviously, it's going to be less customization, like we talked about. You know, like I mentioned in the fixer-upper section, there are very cookie cutter type templates when rehabs are done, and so it can be very similar to the 1, 2, 3, 4 other rehab properties that you walked into. It could look exactly the same minus a layout, just all aesthetically pleasing, or, you know, aesthetically talking. So and then ultimately, you know, you're going to pay top dollar. You're going to maybe pay over the market value. You may have to bring some extra money to the table to get the property and secure the property as your own. So all in all, it's you know, you got to weigh out the pros and cons between the two. Well, ultimately, they're kind of inverse, adverse. You know, they react to each other, and you know, just got to determine what you want as a buyer specifically.
For sure. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think there's definitely some similarities there, definitely some differences. You know, I think ultimately it just depends on the type of person that you are and what you're looking to do. A move-in ready home isn't just about convenience. It's about peace of mind. You may pay more upfront, but you're going to save yourself weekends at Home Depot and years of unfinished projects.
Man, and I'm telling you, some of those unfinished projects, when you sit on them for some years, it doesn't look the best sometimes. So it can, that's a big selling point for sure.
100%, man. Yeah. I mean, just being able to, I guess, get your time back as well, you know, ultimately, you know, some people I feel like just have those unfinished projects. I know, you know, my parents from time to time, you know, with their house, you know, just going over there and projects are just kind of just sitting, and it's, you know, it's on you ultimately, right? It's on when you get around to getting it done. And sometimes when life happens, we all know, you know, when you work jobs and you have kids and you have families and you got all these things going on, sometimes those things can fall on the back burner. And, you know, sometimes it's not always awesome to look at those unfinished projects all the time, right? And it's just a constant reminder, you know, when you're hanging out and you look around, you're like, oh my gosh, I still got to finish this, still got to do this. So, but yeah, I mean, again, everybody's different. There's opportunity at both. So which one's right for you, right? I mean, that's the, ultimately the question is, what bucket do you fit into? Do you fit into the fixer-upper bucket? Do you fix into the, or do you... Are you in the move-in ready bucket? I mean, I think ultimately if I was going to put a percentage on it, most, I would say 85% maybe people are going to fall into the move-in ready bucket, right? I mean, a lot of people, I mean, especially, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not the biggest handyman in the world. I mean, I have done some things in the past, you know, but I think that that's almost kind of removed itself a generation. I feel like our parents and people before us were a lot more involved in those sort of things. Luckily, I do have some family members that have done that sort of work over time. And I did learn a little bit of it growing up as a kid. And obviously you can find anything on YouTube or Google or whatever it is that you want to do. But a lot of people in our generation, I feel like, are not, that's not really their forte, right? It's not really what they want to do with their time, is spend a bunch of sweat building the projects around their home. And so, you know, and then you add in the fact of, if you've rented before, if you've gone into some of these nicer in neighborhoods and you have these new apartments that have been, you know, furnished with all these new items, you know, you're going to have a certain, I would say, aesthetic that you're looking for as well, right? Because most people are not going to take three steps back from what they've been living in to potentially, yes, down the road, take three steps back forward. But, you know, a lot of people, they want to make a lateral or, you know, forward move. Most people don't want to go backwards. And so that's going to put a lot of people into the bucket of, I'm looking for something that's been newly renovated, something that meets my aesthetic eye. And I feel like because we're like so inundated with like videos online and everything of what these things look like we have a certain aesthetic that we're looking for, right? And so there's a reason that investors are all doing the same 1, 2, 3 steps to get properties to look the same. And that's because they sell ultimately, right? If they didn't sell, people wouldn't be doing it. And so there's that part of it as well. So obviously what's going to be best for a fixer upper, Zach, what's going to be the person that fits in that bucket, would you say?
Well, as I talked about already, you know, handy buyers, long-term owners and investors, you know, people that have contacts with contractors, you know, have relationships with, you know, people that do that type of work on the side, you know, anybody that has, you know, a handyman bone in their body or, you know, relationship very close to them is going to be somebody that I would always, always recommend, you know, taking on a little bit of a fixer-upper, because again, you have the opportunity right in front of you to build equity by doing the things that maybe you're already comfortable with, or by doing the things that somebody else that you are, you know, have a relationship is already comfortable with and already can, you know, complete these things for you. Now it gets a little bit tricky, obviously, when you are not one of those individuals. And you know, it can be a little bit daunting. It can be a little bit of a task, I think. I would also agree, I'm not one of those individuals. I can do a little bit, you know, here and there. I can, you know, drill a hole in the wall and whatnot, hang a TV, do that type stuff.
But oh gosh,
obviously, you know,
you're not tearing down a kitchen wall and reframing and
not demoing it. No, not doing that. So those are the types of projects that, you know, obviously if you walk into the property and see that you want to take an entire wall out and open up a room like that, like, you got to start budgeting that for a contractor rather than yourself if you're not one of those type of people. And obviously that can get costly, and you have to start doing those, you know, calculations with the budget to does this even make sense? Does the return on the investment even make sense? And so I think it does make a lot more sense when somebody is, you know, handy or has those relationships on hand to get those things done, in my opinion.
I agree. And one other person that I would put in that bucket, I think you also have to be this, and that is having a good foundation of money set back for a fixer upper, because ultimately, right? Yes, we have mentioned you're going to spend more money on a property that's move-in ready. However, let's just be honest, buying a $125,000 house and putting a down payment down, but then also having to put $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 into it in order to get it where you want it is going to still cost more upfront than what buying a $400,000 house is and putting a 5% down payment, right? Because you're already sitting at potentially $50,000, $60,000 on the $125,000 house, and your down payment on $400,000 is going to be what, $20,000? So you know what I mean? Like, you still have to have more money, even though you're paying more over the life of the loan and the time buying the larger house. It is still one of those things where, you know, it's going to cost more money out of pocket to make sure that these projects are getting done, especially if you want to do them in a timely manner, right? If you want to do them within the first year or so of owning the home, you're going to have a good bit of money set back. So I think all of those things make sense if you're handy, if you long-term investor, that sort of thing, but also you got to have the funds to do it. And, you know, even if you're just a buyer who wants to, you know, go the longer route, take the road less traveled, you're somebody who's either, if you don't have all the money, you got to recognize, okay, it's going to take as long as it takes until those funds become available. If that's a 5-6 year timeline, because you only can invest, you know, let's just say $10,000 a year, right? And you have $50,000 worth of work that you want to put in, you know, obviously that's going to take you about 5 years to accomplish all of that. So just something to think about there as well.
Absolutely. And you might have sparked an idea for another episode in my head after that, because we won't touch on it too much today, but there are, you know, financing types out there that will allow for a rehab budget to be built into the purchase price too. So just something
that there are,
maybe something to touch on in a future episode, a little teaser there for sure. So
100%.
I would say, just moving on and finishing up, you know, obviously it's pretty self-explanatory. I think that move-in ready homes are going to be perfect for, you know, busy people that need stability, or, you know, have short-term plans on all, don't plan on living into the property for an extended amount of time. You know, obviously those are going to be individuals that, you know, have no extra time to be doing these large projects, or extra time to, you know, take on the large rehab, or they need something to move into immediately and just, you know, get the furniture in there and plop down ready to go. So I would say that there is a very certain demographic that, you know, it's self-explanatory. I think when in terms of the move-in ready home, got to be ready to go for them at that point.
For sure. Couldn't agree more. And then obviously the last one is kind of lifestyle fit, right? So, you know, if you're someone who doesn't mind taking the time, taking the effort, the energy to do those sort of things, if that's where you're at in your life, you know, that's obviously a fixer upper is going to probably make a little bit more sense for you. If you're somebody who has less time, you work full-time job, you have a bunch of outside obligations on top of that, and you have very little extra time each week, I don't think that obviously a working on a bunch of home projects is going to be kind of in the cards for you, right? So probably move-in ready is going to make a little bit more sense. That way, you know, you're not bogging down your already busy life with these tasks that have to be done around your house. Because there's nothing that would add more stress onto somebody's life than already having a packed schedule and then trying to fit more into already said packed schedule. I know myself personally, usually when I overextend myself, that's when the high stress usually comes in as well. So yeah, I mean, again, it's just ultimately where are you at with in your life and what lifestyle choices are gonna, or what life is going to fit best for you. So,
and I would say, you know, the right choice is not just about the house. It's about you all in all. Do you value your time or money more? You know, Fixer Uppers will give you your sweat equity, and Move In Ready gives you your life back all in all. So
100%. Well, yeah, guys, I mean, that's kind of, you know, there's both sides of the aisle for you. Just kind of give you an idea of what those things look like. I think that there is a great opportunity out there if you're somebody who fits into that fixer upper bucket. And I think there's the potential to make a really good chunk of money off of a property, right? If you do it right, and if you are willing to scan for the deals and you have the money set back to look into those things. You know, I think that, you know, again, I gave a personal example of somebody that, you know, walked out of their house $80,000 to $100,000 up from where they originally were, even with the work put in. So it's out there, it's available. And so it just depends on what you're looking to do. And obviously a lot of you guys are going to fit into, again, that Move In Ready bucket. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's benefits to each lifestyle choice. And you guys get a little bit more freedom, a little less stress, and get to call a place home, you know, pretty quickly off the bat and not have to worry about too much. So, but yeah, again, no universal answer, right? There's nothing that's going to, you're not going to be like, this is the right one for everybody. Ultimately, it's going to be whatever depends on you. And even if we say, even if you don't find yourself fitting into one of those buckets right now, you think that you would rather fit into the, you'd rather do the fixer upper route, or you'd rather do the Move In Ready route, even if you have all these things, that's like Zach said, it's completely up to you. It's not about necessarily the house itself or any of that. It's going to be about what you want for your life and what it is that you want to take on. So, you know, if you're thinking about taking on a fixer upper or Move In Ready, you know, reach out to us. We can obviously help you guys game plan which one's going to be best for you, talk you through the steps, what's going to make the most sense. You know, it's what we're here for ultimately, is to, you know, help provide guidance in that regard.
Couldn't agree more, brother. I thought this was a pretty solid one. Like you mentioned, just laid out the both sides of the aisle here, and ultimately let the people know, let the listeners know that it is situation dependent. Nothing falls into a specific bucket. You just got to, again, make sure you're taking account, awareness of your own situation and everything going on around you, the market going on around you, and make a decision from there. Ultimately, we've touched on it a lot of times, but it's a very large financial purchase. So again, just want to, you know, have all those options laid out there in front of you when you go to make that decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, appreciate you all tuning in for this week's episode, and yeah, just appreciate all the love and support we've been getting on our recent podcast, and I guess all the podcasts. But yeah, continue to check us out on YouTube. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and yeah, podcasts are available everywhere. All right, guys, appreciate y'all. Have a good one. We'll catch you guys on next week's episode.
Cheers.